Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Lima was first on this bid. Lima today. And in fairness, I want to set this up right. Because Lima started asking this question, I want to say, maybe five weeks ago. Because we keep attacking this Browns team, literally. We keep attacking this situation as if it's just a Deshaun problem or just a coaching problem or just a team construction problem. And so Lima, first on the scene on this one, and set it up again today. Actually, he was in response to our conversation about what a bad loss this would be to the Saints, and that led to Lima putting this one out there again.
I don't think we're nearly as talented as even I thought we were. I think that, like, we in Cleveland, we don't know the players on some of these teams. But as you can see, I think people would much rather be Washington going forward than us. I think people would rather be the Chargers going forward than us. But we have so much talent. I think
they have quarterbacks.
I think they also have young players we don't know. We don't have the young players that other people don't know that are good. Like, I think we just have a bunch of players that are bigger names. Like, David Njoku is a bigger name than a lot of teams have tight ends. He's got 255 yards. We're halfway through the year. He's going to have a terrible production year. That's... I think at this point, other teams
have... Well, he's injured and he's had bad quarterbacks thrown to him.
Sure. Okay. I mean, but are we paying attention to other guys on other teams like that? No. We keep saying we're more talented than all these teams. Are we? Doesn't talent win out sometimes? It hasn't.
So I do want to give Lima credit because this has been a pretty consistent point that he's had. And I've had this creeping realization. And I don't know that it's... This is a theory. This is not a fact. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're not talented. I just wonder if the talent they do have is getting too old and too injury prone on top of a disastrous quarterback situation.
Okay, I like that you put it that way because I didn't know that a lot of people are living with the idea that this team was loaded with talent still. Like, on the offensive side of the ball, at least. On the defensive side of the ball, I think we see a lot of talent. And maybe mm-hmm. that's where we skew towards the defense. And then we skew towards, you know, Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and JOK and all these guys that we think are just awesome. And legitimately, in those three players' instances, are. But offensively, I mean, Nick, I think, 2 weeks ago, we had a whole conversation about how I think I put the wide receiver group at 25th in the NFL after the Amari Cooper trade. We have no running game right now. Maybe Nick Chubb ends up getting back to old form, but right now we have no running game. And the offensive line was supposed to be a top five offensive line in the sport. It looks like a bottom five offensive line in the sport. Like, you couple that all together, I don't know that I see talent everywhere.
So, I think it's a really tough point. It's the right point to ask the question. But it's a tough point to have the right answer because recency bias will just tell everyone, no, they suck and they're awful and screw this team.
Yeah, exactly the thing that Lima did when it came to David Njoku. And I think he was right to point out, like, if you wanted to, you could look at Njoku having 250 yards and you're like, well, the production isn't there.
Yeah.
He's not a productive player this year. Outside looking in, you can make a case that David Njoku, not that great, but we know better than that.
Well, and I think that's what makes this whole analysis so interesting. Is last year, this team was good enough to do what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they never were. And I don't know, and like, I do think, like, this year tends to be a domino effect. Like, you weren't healthy. You weren't healthy where I think it matters. Like, Dalvin wasn't really ready to play until early September. Your entire offensive line, all three of your tackles, even Dewan, even though he's playing, was not healthy.
Yeah.
Your guards got banged up. Joel clearly is not healthy, hasn't been this year. Even Posick, been in and out of the lineup. So, like, is it talent or is it just you're just really injured? And are you injured early in the season? Because last year, if you remember, like, yeah, okay, Nick and Deshaun were injured. And so it gave you this appearance of, well, you're the most injured team, but Miles was healthy. Denzel was healthy for most of the season, but not all the season. JOK was healthy all season. The O-line, at least the internal part of the O-line, was healthy pretty much.
Internal was there because the outside was busted up. We used 11 different linemen last year.
But like Amari was healthy. So like you had enough health at the right positions. And I actually think like I think they kind of rallied around the fact they didn't have a quarterback at some point. Like, I think that became a motivating factor of everybody being like, well, you can't keep doing this. So I think it almost took the steam out. I think this team has succumbed to injuries, a little bit of ego and a little bit of pressure. And then I do think the core is older. So the question is, I don't know if Lime is right or not, but I'm starting to be concerned that if this is your core is just getting older and can't stay healthy, that's where this goes from. One-year retool or whatever we want to, however we're going to try and rebrand it to make everybody look the other way and act like this isn't going to be a rebuild from an actual rebuild where you do have to tear it down a lot more and it takes you 3 years to get back here.
Yeah, I just think sometimes, though, and this is, I just think sometimes we look at our own guys and then we say, well, they're obviously great or they're obviously way better in our minds than we think. I'll never forget. Well, I mean, at some point I'll forget. I don't know why I always lead up with that. But when I had Matthew Collar on before the season, and obviously the big part of that was him talking about the offense not being great and all this other nonsense. But I remember asking him about MJ Emerson. And this is a guy that not only covers football, he's written football books, okay? Legitimate books on football. And if you ask around the NFL, they'll tell you he's one of the best when it comes to the Vikings, right? All the qualifiers are there. I said, so what do you think about MJ Emerson? I heard he had a really good day of practice yesterday. And he goes, hey, Jonathan, I don't know who that is. I don't know who MJ Emerson is. I'm just not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he looked great when I don't. I don't know who that guy is. And I think MJ Emerson, if you ask a Browns fan, not only would we say we know MJ Emerson, we talk about how much we like MJ Emerson, right, the bad year he's having, everything attached to it, but we could go on before the season got underway about how he's like an up-and-coming great corner, probably going to get a $100 million deal somewhere down the line. All these great things before the season. And a known football guy had no idea who he is. And that's not a shot at Matthew Collar. That's just the reality of it. Like, in our mind, I do think we overrate, or at least we hype up guys like that way too often.
I don't know, because guys who do watch film have called out MJ Emerson. So I'm open to, is this just maybe who MJ is and he's been propped up by the talent around him? I'm open to that. But to the moment, I've got two good years of MJ Emerson versus this guy we're seeing right now.
So like the debate isn't necessarily whether or not MJ Emerson is still good or isn't good. The idea that I'm trying to stress here is that a known football guy that covers the league and does everything around the league, in our eyes, MJ Emerson might as well have been Jesus Christ on the football field. Like, he's just awesome. He's this. He's that. Everyone knows who he is. But like the league doesn't know him.
Well, no. I think Matthew Collar doesn't know them. Because I will say, like, I think now we're getting into kind of a nuanced part here. I think people paid a lot of attention to Dwan last year. I think people paid a lot of attention to MJ Emerson. Brian Baldinger is one of the guys who's been like, you guys, the rest of the league is missing out on MJ Emerson. I think part of this is the Browns haven't been good for back-to-back seasons, and that's how you know guys that aren't Myles Garrett or JOK. But to your point, I do think even guys like MJ Emerson and Dwan Jones, I no longer know if you're going to be the supplemented part of the core or not. 216-474-0092. Is talent the Browns' problem? Lima's been all over this for a minute, and at the fact that I can't answer definitively doesn't make me feel great.
But let's talk about some of the drop-offs then that you mentioned there, because like Dwan, MJ, there's a couple other players we can bring into the equation that you do now. You went from a check plus to now we're in that kind of muddy territory. Like, is MJ Emerson something that when Andrew Berry goes to the table and says, here's all the success I've had, does he bring MJ Emerson's name into the mix? Does he bring Dwan Jones' name into the mix? If he was trying to do a defense for his job, does he count that as a check plus?
Yeah, he probably does. The problem is it might lead to him unintentionally throwing somebody under the bus who right now he is tied at the hip with, at least publicly, and that's Kevin Stefanski. Because I think, okay, are we talented? Or because if you don't think this is a talent issue, then you think it's a coaching issue. And I will say, the fact that I don't definitively know either way, with what, 8 games to go in a lost season?
Is that the problem?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make me feel great. But we got that. Obviously, guys can get to at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got Danny Green, former Cavs former Cavalier, and now NBA analyst, joining us at 3. We'll get his thoughts on where the Cavs are. The too good, too early conversation that I've seen on social media, but I don't think I've actually seen any NBA analyst sink their teeth into. We've also got Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, at 4. We'll ask him about this Saints game and what it represents for the Browns. Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock. We've got Quick Hits at 2:40. We've got Bandwagons at 5:40. All the things today, but 216-474-0092. Is talent the Browns' main problem? We've got that, and where I think JP wants to go. I don't know it's an out, but I think it is a defense of Kevin Stefanski. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. But my initial thing when I heard this before the show, driving in today. Actually, that's a lie. No, I heard it back there when we were getting ready for the show.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, I kind of was like, ah, hey, it's a little late to learn these things, I think. Could you not have learned them 5 weeks earlier? Which, by the way, is just an emotion response. I know that's not an intellectual one, but
he's got to sell solutions, Nick. He's got to sell something that he turns around and, oh, that's what it was. It took us a little bit longer, but that's what it was.
But the problem is, if you tell everybody you're winning and then you lose out during the stretch, down the stretch, or if you go 1-7 down the stretch, that looks worse then if everybody just thinks you're in evaluation mode.
Well, the way the schedule sets up, as we've talked about, though, but I think this is the week you got to win because you're not going to have many wins on the schedule after that. So this is the week you're like, oh, we made the right adjustments. Here we go. And then you're just going to fall flat on your face.
Yeah. And so, like, we're just in a weird spot here. And again, like, when Lima asked the question, the two times I remember him asking it before, I was like, man, that's too cynical. This is a team that was 11-6 last year. But the more you get into this and more you get to 2-7, if you get to 2-10 or if you get to 3-11 or something like that, it's the right conversation to have. And you bet, like, it's okay if you and I don't have a definitive answer on if talent is the problem for the Cleveland Browns. It is. It's not okay if they don't know definitively because they're in that building every year. And like part of me, I feel like if you say it's a talent problem, though, part of me does feel like it's a cop out for the word that I think is most important, and that's culture. Is that like that's where I struggle with if we put it on, well, they're not that talented, or they were too injured, or they just got the quarterback thing wrong, and that sucked all the life out of the building.
Yeah,
like whichever one of the four things that I threw out there in the first segment, I think if you don't put it on culture. Man, do I like?
Is that to you the difference from last year to this year? Then the culture, because the culture got it seemed like in the right direction.
Yeah, like, and I think the thing we've learned is culture is a malleable thing. Culture is something that even within a season can teeter on the brink of either good or awful.
Yeah, we talked about Bo Nix in Denver yesterday, right? Like how different that situation looks from Russell Wilson to then Bo Nix, and then how different it looks if Bo Nix were to stink for four games instead of be what he was and has been for the previous four.
Well, and kind of with that, like, I just think that, and this is the, and I know this is unfair, because this might be the one coach that can do this to the level that he's doing it. But, like, talent has been an issue in Pittsburgh.
I knew you were going for Tomlin.
You had
to. When you bring up culture, everyone goes to Tomlin.
Yeah, you have to. Even in Baltimore. Like, their disappointing seasons are you went 10-7 and missed the playoffs. Like, or quite frankly, Lamar just wasn't healthy at the end of the season, which is the most justifiable thing in the world.
Yeah, for some reason, we don't bring up culture with Harbaugh the same way that we do with Tomlin.
Well, because Tomlin
has... At least
has,
with that Harbaugh. We do it with the other Harbaugh. We do it with Jim, not John.
Because John has had losing seasons, even if his losing seasons are 7-9. But Tomlin just has never. So it's weird. The thing that this is why it matters. If the Browns just want to make it about the players, and I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying if they're going to bank on this was a talent problem, we misjudged it, that's on us, we'll do better next time. Man, I think we're going to start to realize why Pittsburgh and Baltimore are where they are almost every year and why you are where you are every year or every other year as it is right now.
Yeah, I think that if we're bringing Tomlin and Harbaugh into the equation, that's obviously two coaches it's tough to live up to. I was thinking about something you had said in the open that we have for the show, though, where the very last thing you say in the open of the show is like, he's probably a good coach. You're like, we don't get too high, don't get too low. He's probably a good coach. And if that's what we are with Stefanski, then it's probably a good, decent culture. It's probably somewhere in between there. But he's not going to be the type of guy that can take just about any group of 53 players and turn them into awesome. And I think that's probably what we're seeing here. I think he's not a trash coach. He's not a bad coach. I like Stefanski. You know this. But I just don't think he's the type of coach that can elevate just about anybody to that level.
So what's interesting about that is, one, it plays into the idea of, if you're a good coach, culture vacillates a lot more, which I think is just, unless you're Tomlin, unless you're Harbaugh, unless you've been there for a decade and won a Super Bowl and done all that stuff, it makes sense. Here's the other thing. If I had to entertain for an entire season with Baker Mayfield, if I had to entertain, well, he's good, but he's not good enough to win a Super Bowl with.
Right, that was the whole discussion.
Why the hell are we not having that same conversation with Kevin? Is it because he's good looking?
I don't think that's it.
Is it because he's smarter than us because he went to Ivy League?
He's a good looking man.
Is it the jawline, the 5 o'clock shadow? I mean, it's a good look.
I liked when he didn't have I liked the 5 o'clock shadow. I liked when it wasn't like almost Santa Claus white. I liked it better when there was some dark in there.
Are you saying just for men?
He swerved into the salt and pepper thing a little bit too hard is what I'm saying here.
Oh, I think salt and pepper plays.
People like salt and pepper. Does. I think
the people that matter, salt and pepper.
It's going to be a sad day when I have to go to the salt and pepper.
Why?
I'm not looking forward to that.
I don't think you realize how
it's like
it plays.
A couple years away, probably. It's not even that too distant. It's not going to play well.
I'm
for
your
me.
Future, then, baby. And let me tell you, then nice.
Wait, are you salt and pepper?
Oh yeah, salt and pepper in my beard, salt and pepper a little bit in my hair. Yeah,
you look like when you get like the first lightest snow of the season. That's what your hair looks like right
salt
now.
And
it's like did
here,
it,
baby.
Did it snow? Did it not snow? I can't really tell. It looks like it might have though.
Could be dandruff. That's another thing.
It could be.
But no, I'm telling you right now, salt and pepper plays. Don't fear it. Embrace it.
I do think we're going to have these conversations with Stefanski when the time comes. I do. I think that's what this is going to be all about. We're going to use that exact thing that you just used right there. The Baker Mayfield, you got rid of him because you thought Deshaun could be great. The other problem with this, though, is do you feel like you can get somebody that is a great head coach? They had Deshaun right there. I know you're going to save Vrabel. I know you're going to save Vrabel. If you're Vrabel, seeing everything that just went through with this past season, you signing up to go ahead and coach under Jimmy Haslam? I don't know that you are. Well, you got a firsthand experience of what's going on here in Berea these days.
Okay, that being said, because people have connected him to the Cowboys job.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That one's worse than this one.
Past 48 hours. Well, and that was the one thing, so I kind of stopped myself dead in its tracks because I knew that the rebuttal would consistently be, do you really want to work for Jimmy Haslam? And now the past 48 hours, everyone's connected him to Dallas. It's like, well, if you're going to work for Jerry Jones, you might as well work for Jimmy Haslam.
I will say, though, to what you said, I almost wish Vrabel wasn't here because it is. Like, if I didn't have the wait, there's more behind door B, I wouldn't in my head have the perfect coach right there. And that is a way that I have to admit, as somebody who tries to be as honest as he can on radio, that absolutely colors my thinking.
Well, and you might have to jump on that one earlier than later because we talked about the Cowboys right there.
Saints.
You mentioned the Saints before the show got underway. Like, there's going to be some teams. That every year we see this with NFL teams making their decisions. The ones that go earlier than later are the ones that get the first pick of the litter.
I mean, I think having Vrabel in the building is your ace in the hole because you might have been able to build a relationship with him previously, especially Jimmy. I know we have all this thought on Jimmy. Something tells me Jimmy still has that Tennessee charm anytime he wants to pull that out. I just think he knows that maybe here it's not, maybe publicly it's not received the same way. I think Jimmy still has that card to play if he wants to. I think that's still an ace in the hole. But I think getting back to what, you know, I think you kind of spun it in a way that's interesting to me, that this idea that for anybody out there looking to shield Kevin Stefanski, making it about talent is the smart play.
Yeah.
And that, again, is what I'm uncomfortable with. Because I just want the truth. I don't care
if you can't handle the truth.
I want the truth back
that's all
at
you. Do.
Again.
Yeah, that's
I think
all
that's
you
just
do.
The whole second.
Just go back and forth.
But I do. That's because I think the only way that you really go forward from this, whether it's the talent, whether it's the Stefanski thing, whether it's some semblance of a little bit of everything, the only way that you get to where the Steelers and Ravens are is if you're honest about this and you don't give in to internal spin. And I just think that's like, and again, that's what I honestly do think makes being an owner hard is trying to, because you also have personal relationships with these guys. But I don't know, that might be part of what I'm struggling so much with is the talent the Browns' problem, because I'm just like, well, if that means Kevin gets a pass, I don't think I can abide. They're 2-7.
It would be the defense that I would make if I was Stefanski. It's the defense I would make. I would be blaming the talent issues, and I would try to go that way. And whether Andrew now that's the interesting thing. Like, does Andrew Berry buy into that? Because what you'd be doing is going to Haslam and saying, our brother in arms here didn't do his job. That's why I deserve to keep mine.
Well, here's the other problem with that, though. Then explain last year. Like, one of these years has to be the anomaly. And I don't, like, this is such to one extreme that I almost think that's got to be the anomaly. Like, 2-7 is such a departure from the norm that there is a part of me that's like, all right, your previous low was 7 wins, 8 wins. You were like a 500, sub-500 team. And your ceiling has been 11 wins in a playoff trip or 11 wins in a playoff win. I think that's the other part of this. Because this feels more anomalous with these guys than last year did. Which is funny because there were...
No, I agree with that.
That kind of thing.
Like it's funny, as bad of a team as they are, I still don't look at them like they're some disaster. They are a disaster, but I don't look at them like they're the scum of the NFL and the bottom of the bottom. I just don't, because I see all the talent. I mean, I just bring up so many different names, and it just becomes hard for me to say, even though I know it. The record says they stink. I know they stink, but it still becomes hard for me to go ahead and say it.
Is talent the Browns' problem? 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin.
Like, think about how sick this is. Sorry to cut you off there for a second, but think about how sick this is. Like, the Steelers games, I think everyone in the listening audience is like, oh, they're going to lose those games. I'm like, I think they're going to split them. I don't know. I don't know. They're a bad team, but like, there's so much talent everywhere. How do I just sit there and say they're going to lose both of them to a Steelers team right now? Although they got the good win against the Commanders, I'm not convinced is great.
Because they're a bad team.
I know. I have to convince myself of that. I have to wrap my head around the idea that they are way different than the team we thought they were 9 weeks ago.
Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stefanski has heard Jed Wills' comments on business decisions. You can hear what he had to say about it next in Quick Hits with Nick and Jonathan on 92.3 The Fan.
Ryan Day and Ohio State continue to roll through the Big Ten. The latest college football playoff rankings are out, and an unexpected top five matchup against Indiana coming up next week. Spencer German breaks it all down on the Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes each week of the college football season.
Nick and Jonathan back on Afternoon Drive. Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green, former Cavalier, joins us in 20 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on this Cavs team, the Atkinson impact, which is much up for debate these days, and so much more. But let's go ahead and get to Quick Hits here. And we lead off here, JP, with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. He was asked today about Jedrick Wills' business decision comments and spoke about that today in Berea. We're going to go ahead and get to that right now.
I talked to Jed. It was a poor choice of words. I know the connotation of business decision. That's not how he meant it. Did not feel like he was near 100% to help us, but poor choice of words, and he understands that.
And that Jed's not healthy a year later? I mean, has it just been, was there a setback?
I wouldn't categorize it as setback. It hasn't recovered how quickly he would want it to, and there's obviously times that you maybe tweak an injury or you feel it again and those type of things, but yeah, it's been a tough rehab for him.
Have you said in any way your decision to play him going forward?
No, no. Yeah, let me iterate. Reiterate. It was a poor choice of words. He did not know what that phrase means. That's not how he meant it.
Is this a good defense of Jedrick Wills' comments?
It's the worst defense imaginable. My client is just a few fries short of a Happy Meal. I'm sorry. He doesn't know what he's saying.
You know, that's got a lot of people out of jail, though.
What is that?
This man is an idiot. He couldn't possibly have committed the crime. Leave him alone.
It just doesn't work that way. Also, the best part about that is that he had to have, in order to say that, he had to have had a sit down with Jedrick Wills and be like, see, do you know what that means? Do you know what you said? Do you know what it means? And Jed Wills had to stand there like a five-year-old and be like, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was saying.
Which, by the way, is the only correct answer. If he was like, I knew that bleep, he wouldn't be on the team anymore. I think what's fascinating about this is, then that means Jed got benched because he wasn't any good or because DeJuan Jones looked better in that 1 week than Jed did. Ergo, Jed, you're dumb and you lost your job. I think that's the syntax. That's our subtext. Different thing. Now, I don't know what terms are. That's the subtext of that.
That's a bad combo either way. All right, next up. We are out of the Joe Flacco business in Indianapolis. Yeah, it's on you. It's okay. The Colts, though. The Colts say Anthony Richardson is now their quarterback. They're done with Joe Flacco. A complete turn from where they were 2 weeks ago after benching Anthony Richardson for not finishing out a play.
That's how we do it. Hey, that guy gives you a bunch of yards, but we got to try and save our jobs here, so we're going back to Anthony Richardson. We lost. And literally, the only difference is, I mean, I know Joe Flacco threw a bunch of interceptions.
He was not good.
But you just can't convince me at this point that Anthony Richardson has learned his lesson about going off the sidelines or going to the sidelines and out for a play because he was tired.
No, but what I love is they looked and saw what the Browns did last year, and they said, we can do that. Joe Flacco won a bunch of games last year. We can do that. And that was their Hail Mary. It didn't work. Flacco stunk. Which we can talk about whether that's a point in the positive for Stefanski or not another time, I guess. And now they're going back to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a win for anybody.
All right, wait, hold on. One second. Let me think about this for a second. Was it because of Joe Flacco's success last year, or was it the fact that the Panthers went back to Bryce Young because of a car accident, mind you, and Bryce Young is actually winning games now?
I don't even know anymore. No, it probably was the Bryce Young thing. Okay. No, actually, it's just... You got to sell the locker room on something because they're actually in a spot where they can get back. They're not out of it. They have a chance. It's starting to get a slim chance. They have a chance to go to the playoffs and maybe the Joe bubble burst and Anthony's just the next guy you go to. But man, it does feel like you're just rearranging the deck chairs in a Titanic this soon after, hey, I'm tired and that's why I went out of that play.
Omaha!
All right, revenge game alert. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers preparing to face the Ravens, including former Steelers wide receiver Deontay Johnson. When asked about how much thought he'd given to facing Johnson, Mike Tomlin answered the only way Mike Tomlin can answer.
Be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed, you know, what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
He says it in the most respectful tone in the world. This is amazing trolling out of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, because that was very, very disrespectful.
Yes, wildly disrespectful, but he says it in a respectful way, so everybody goes, oh, he wasn't being disrespectful.
Yeah, it's like when people smile, and then they just tell you the meanest thing imaginable, but they're smiling and laughing as they do it.
I think
we don't have to do examples right now.
Yeah, I think I am right here.
I was getting ready. I was going to do one, and I'm like, you know what? Let's not do that.
That is 25% of how I keep myself amused in life in general. But yes, this is cold-blooded.
Bedside manner right there by Tomlin.
I think Deontay Johnson is the typical Steelers ass clown wide receiver who just only succeeds in that environment. And then the second you don't succeed in that environment and you're still a booty cheeks, they kick you out. And so I don't think he's going to be great in Baltimore. It would be wildly hilarious, though, if he actually enacted his revenge on the Steelers in this game.
It is funny, though, 20 minutes ago, we just kept talking about how Tomlin is like the only coach that gets this culture and like understands culture until the end of time. But he's got such a history of just bad wide receivers or great wide receivers that are that have bad issues attached to themselves and really go rogue and problematic. Can't always be the same.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is the opposite of Stefanski. Stefanski seems to win when he just has a bunch of princes in the locker room who adhere to every word he says, right? It's the, you've got the flawless locker room. And it seems like when Jadeveon acts out is when Kevin doesn't win as much.
Yeah, it melted down.
Yeah, and Baker and OBJ in 2021. This guy is winning in spite of the clowns. Like George Pickens last year was throwing temper tantrums.
He's P.T. Barnum. He's got the whole. He's basically in charge of the circus.
But you're in the playoffs with a guy like George Pickens, who most people would have cut halfway through last year.
Omaha.
Mike Tyson. vowing to bring the devil himself into the ring versus Jake Paul. That was the quote that he had ahead of the matchup on Friday. The matchup will be going on during this show, by the way. I think it airs at like 5 o'clock or something. I don't know why it's not prime time. Are you locked in to one of the Paul brothers against Mike Tyson? Nick, I saw a photo of Tyson. At first, I thought this was going to be a little like, I don't want to go down this road. Mike Tyson's an old man. This isn't going to look well. Yeah. Tyson looks jacked.
Yeah.
He looks jacked out of his mind. He's going to beat the hell out of this Paul kid.
I don't know if we can get Netflix on the TV in here because these are dumb TVs. They're not smart TVs. I would love to watch.
You're saying our TVs need to go to school? Is
I
that
think
what you're
they
saying?
They do. They're
need some education?
Yeah. Kevin Stefanski would say they didn't know what Netflix was. He would just give them the pass on that. I think.
The Jed Wills of TVs?
I just want to watch Mike Tomlin and Mike Tyson just annihilate whichever Paul brother this is. And I don't know.
It's Jake Paul, by the way.
Sure. It is. Sure it is. There's no difference between the two.
I couldn't say it with confidence between which one it was, though, if we're being honest. I had to look it up again. Jake Paul.
Yeah, they have enough confidence for both of us.
Omaha!
Meanwhile, Matthew McConaughey, who I didn't know I could love more. He's a brilliant actor. He's just a total amateur philosopher that everybody buys into because he looks like $1 million. Matthew McConaughey was on the Two Bears, One Cave podcast with Bert Kreischer. Did I say Bart?
Yeah.
Bert Kreischer and Tom Segura, and maybe gave the best answer on the best steak conversation I've ever heard in my life.
What about the steak? Well, there are different ways. So I go 1 5/8 inch, which means it's a big, thick piece of meat, uh-huh. Which means I either go on the grill. If I can get that green egg to sit there and hold at 455 and close that thing and trust it, beautiful. Other times where we're just inside and I don't have time for that, I'm a big 16-inch black skillet, oil, butter, and sear that and flip some oil and butter on top of that thing because I just learned that butter doesn't brown if you put it in early with the oil. Obviously, that old trick everyone forgets, let that sit for as long as you cooked it because it's got to settle.
Yeah.
And all
and
those
the juices
kind of
go
relax.
Absorb it back in.
And also, you don't know this one. This may be obvious, but it's the cook it at room temperature. You can't pull it out of the fridge.
No, you got to let it.
You got to let it sit, get back to room, get the room temperature. And all those pores open up. So 1 5/8 inch American Wagyu ribeye.
25% of our audience is hungry, 25% is aroused,
the butter got a brown,
and 50% is hungry and aroused.
He just speaks funny,
but yeah.
Notice what's the difference between him and Daffy Duck? No, I can't tell the difference. They just speak funny.
Here's the thing: anybody who's cooked steaks knows this. Like, he's speaking. He's like, well, you got to get that green egg to set it about 455 degrees.
I'll tell you the difference. You want to know what this is?
He's exceptionally good looking. That's the difference.
No. The reason why he can be so detailed about the steak and the temperature and everything he needs is he's an actor. That's it. That's his job. That's all he has to do. So all day long, he needs to do things to entertain himself all day long because he doesn't have a normal job like me and you. He doesn't have a job where you go to and you got to focus on the job. And then like that's the majority of your day is focusing on the job. He gets to think about really dumb things like that.
Jealous much?
Very much so. Yes. I would love to be able to focus on things like that.
No, I'd love to be McConaughey. I'll just put that on the record.
A lot of time on his hands.
I got to say, though, he's also right. Like, if we take out I eat lean meat because it's healthier and because it won't kill me quicker, ribeye is the perfect steak. It's tender, but it's not too tender, and it's fatty, and it is too fatty. But, I mean, it walks the line of strip and filet, and it's the perfect line plus the right amount of fat. And then you score that fat a little bit. See, it doesn't sound as good when I say it because I don't have a Texas accent and look like $1 million.
Sounded really knowledgeable when you said it.
But he's right. That's what kills me.
I could listen to him say just about anything, but again, it's just that he talks in a way that we like.
Yeah, he will talk anybody into anything, and you see how he became Matthew McConaughey. All right, guys, that is Quick Hits. When we come back, we'll have a elongated hit with Odyssey NBA insider and former Cavalier Danny Green. We'll ask him about the 12-0 record and what goes into that on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.